Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Great to have you with us today. We are gearing up for the first IU game. It's an exhibition, but it's the start of the season for the Hoosiers on Thursday night. We have a really good show today to get you set for that Thursday game. We've got some great guests. We're going to talk a lot of IU basketball in this hour, so make sure you keep it locked with us for the entirety of the hour. Let's set the scene for the show today. The guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham. Joining us on this Wednesday program, we've got Hoosier Headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. In segment one, we're going to talk some Romeo Langford. 3 days in a row, Romeo Langford has been named to a preseason All-American team. We'll tell you the different outlets that have named him to the preseason All-American team and where exactly he fell on their respective list. Pretty impressive for a guy that's not yet played a college basketball game. Also, as we get ready for Thursday, we finally get a little more detail about what happened in the closed scrimmage on Sunday when we got the pregame notes from IU for the Thursday Southern Indiana exhibition, a little bit of a recap so we can go back and talk a little bit about shooting percentages and positive things. How many steals? I think we did know that yesterday. Some of the top scores and more kind of definite words. So we'll have that for you here in just a moment as well. Also, I'm going to talk about Josh Jefferson, New Albany graduate last night. He got his Division I basketball career started with a nice performance in a scrimmage game for Illinois State after 2 years of junior college basketball. And Troy Williams with the Sacramento Kings, a big night last night. All of that and more in our headlines coming up here in just a few moments. Also, segment two today, we'll check in with Jeff Rabjohns of Peaks.com. Jeff, I know, is fired up for the season as well. We'll talk not only about Thursday's game against Southern Indiana and the start of this season for the Hoosiers, but Jeff also had a report out earlier today. He had an opportunity to sit down with Trace Jackson Davis, who it appears is maybe entering the home stretch of his recruitment process now that all the official visits are out of the way. It sounds like he may be ready to make a decision within the next month or so, perhaps before he plays his first game as a senior for Center Grove. So we'll squeeze that in as well, in addition to talking about the Thursday exhibition game for the Hoosiers. Then I'm really excited about our final segment today. We're going to be joined by a guy that I've known for many years, Rodney Watson. He's the head coach of the University of Southern Indiana, a great Division II men's basketball program. He will take his team into Assembly Hall on Thursday. They are gearing up for a big, big year in the Great Lakes Valley Conference. Of course, they compete and have some great wars each and every season with Bellarmine in that same conference. But Coach Watson's going to join us. He's going to talk about the opportunity to play at Assembly Hall. He's going to tell us about his team for this year. So what a better way to understand the exhibition game for the Hoosiers, who they're going to go against, and kind of a little bit surrounding the game, than to hear from Rodney Watson, the head coach of University of Southern Indiana. So he'll be with us today. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. All right, let's get into some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. It seems like each day it's a good day for Romeo as far as media coverage goes leading up to the season. The last 3 days, he's been named each of these days by a preseason All-American as a freshman by three different news outlets, ESPN.com, CBSSports.com. They both named him earlier in the week to their third team preseason All-American, and then WatchStadium.com. That's where Jeff Goodman is at now. Romeo was on their fourth team. Interesting, he's the first Hoosier to earn preseason All-American honors since Thomas Bryant was named to preseason All-American teams back in 2016. So a lot of recognition for Romeo heading into the season for a freshman. But again, this college basketball freshman class has been widely recognized in some of these preseason All-American categories. Other awards, other positive things out there to start the college basketball season. It's been widely written, I think, that this is a great college basketball class. Now, these guys may not all be there for a year. That might be the extent of it. But when you think about the guys at Duke and North Carolina and, of course, Romeo at Indiana, those kind of projected, I think, in most listings to be the top five, six freshmen in the country this year. But it's a really talented class. 2018, I think, will go down in the state of Indiana, obviously, but across the country is a really good class, a really good incoming class for college basketball. And let's hope that some of these kids in that class go on to have some pretty good professional careers. Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, of course, Romeo, and others. But Romeo getting a lot of publicity. It's been very consistent as we've gotten closer to the basketball season, the tip-off of the first game Thursday for the Hoosiers. He's getting a lot of recognitions for a guy that hasn't played a game yet, but it's really good to see him be hyped up like that, because if you saw him play in high school and you followed just about everything he's done, whether it was with New Albany or his travel team in the summer or other opportunities like the McDonald All-American game, he's earned his reputation. He's earned the ability to be named up there with the best of the best heading into the Big Ten season, heading into college basketball for 18-19. I mentioned that finally we get a little bit more definitive of a rundown on what happened Sunday when IU took on 2018 Final Four participant Loyola of Chicago in Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Indiana won. It was a 40-minute contest. We mentioned that. The score was 70-48. So Indiana with a sizable win over a Final Four team from last season that was very big, very good, and didn't lose everybody. They returned a number of players. I was looking at their roster last night. They returned a number of players from last year's Final Four team. IU led 36-15 at halftime. Here's some interesting things. We heard Archie Miller on his radio show Monday night, and we talked about it yesterday on the show. He was very complimentary of the defense, said he was surprised in a good way by the defense. Here's a little rundown. The release says IU held its opponent to 32% shooting from the field and 22.2% shooting from long distance. IU, meanwhile, shot 48.2%, including 58.3% in the second half. IU also won the battle of the rebounding 47-27, a big edge there. And IU, I mentioned this yesterday, Archie had said this on his program, Archie had 11 steals, which was a very impressive number if you look at some of the totals from this team from past seasons recently. Also, Juwan Morgan, 13 points, 16 rebounds, 3 assists, a double-double, and very solid game for Morgan. Romeo Langford, this was tweeted out there, but it was never confirmed. 19 points, 10 rebounds, and 2 assists. I would say that's a pretty good close scrimmage for an incoming freshman in his first college basketball game. Justin Smith, a lot of positive about him in the offseason. Smith had 12 points, 5 rebounds for Indiana in that close scrimmage. Al Durham, boy, there have been a lot of positive remarks about him heading into the season, 11 points. Robert Finnessy was the next freshman behind Romeo with a point contribution. He had 8 points, and also worth noting is Zach McRoberts with 4 steals, the senior captain, walk-on for Indiana that has earned quite a spot on the roster will be expected to do some things like that this season for Indiana. So we can give you that with a little bit more confidence now that Indiana has put that out. And that definitely, you can understand why Coach Miller was excited about the defense, was excited about the scrimmage and how it went. Again, a Final Four participant from last year that returns a number of those players. Indiana absolutely demolished them, and it looks like basically won every facet of the game. Really interesting to see Romeo almost with 20 points. He had 10 rebounds in his first game, his first scrimmage game with Indiana. Definitely off to a good start. Speaking of New Albany basketball products, last night, Josh Jefferson, he's a junior. He came off the bench for Illinois State. They took on Lewis, a Division II team, in their exhibition game and were winners 80-58. But coming off the bench, Jefferson scored 15 points and was in the game for just over 29 minutes. A very good start to his Division I career. Again, he's a junior at Illinois State. He played his first 2 years of college basketball at a junior college in Illinois, was re-recruited, and obviously in a good situation, it appears, for Illinois State. They are expected to be very competitive in their conference. I saw their team was number one in the media choices for that conference heading into the season. So Josh coming off the bench, but able to score some points, log some serious minutes. He will be an interesting name with the Southern Indiana connection to follow this season playing for Illinois State. Also, Troy Williams, he's bounced around a little bit in the NBA. He hasn't had the best of luck in the NBA so far, bouncing from team to team and from team in the NBA to their G League affiliate. The last couple years have been, I'm sure, different for him, but he's keeping hope alive that he can have a NBA career. Now he's with Sacramento, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks. He played just over 32 minutes last night for the Kings, of course, playing alongside Yogi Ferrell now, two IU guys. But and I should note that Troy is currently on a two-way deal because he can go back and forth. That means he can go back and forth between the Kings and their G League affiliate. Player out last night for Sacramento. He got the call up for one game. We'll see if they keep him around for a little longer based on roster spots. But again, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks. Played just a shade over 32 minutes last night. That's really good stuff to see him get an opportunity to step up to the NBA level, get some playing time, and make the most of it. You want to see guys that get there and get some ample minutes like that. I mean, 32 minutes is a lot of time for a guy that's on a two-way deal. You want to see him take advantage of that. And by all accounts last night, Troy Williams taking advantage of the opportunity to get some PT for the Kings. So headlines are presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as the best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Coming up Friday, Lee Kelly and I will be at Paoli this weekend. We'll have Providence at Paoli for the sectional championship in Class 2A. Providence is our only local team still remaining from Clark and Floyd counties as they try to win and beat an undefeated Paoli team on Friday. We'll be talking about this contest more later in the week, but make plans. If you're not heading to Paoli to support the Pioneers on Friday, you can join Lee and I for the complete call of that game. With just one team left in the area, we'll still be doing the kickoff show previewing the big games on both sides of the river at 6 o'clock. We'll still have our scoreboard show with call-ins and reports and scores and highlights from games on both sides of the river. But as far as our Southern Indiana in-game coverage goes, just one team left. So we'll keep it at Paoli for the entire night with Providence at Paoli this Friday night in high school football. Also Friday, we've got some girls basketball games starting. I know Jeffersonville will take on North Harrison. That's the headline game of the weekend, really the headline game of the regular season getting started in girls basketball. We'll have some updates from that contest, scores from other girls basketball games in the area as well. So we'll keep you posted Friday with everything going on in the area. Just a reminder, I've mentioned it the first 2 days, might as well mention it again today. Good luck to Christian Academy of Indiana Volleyball. They'll play for a 2A state championship against North Judson on Saturday. That will take place at Worthen Arena on the campus of Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. They have been to a state championship game now for five consecutive seasons. Of the four they previously have played in, they've only been able to bring home the state championship once. We'll see what happens this week. But Christian Academy playing some great volleyball, surprising some people this year, getting to the state championship. Best of luck to them on Saturday. Also, just another note that high school basketball, the boys' practices can officially begin next week on Monday. And I tell you what, I was looking at the schedule last night, the week of Thanksgiving, which I think from Monday is 3 weeks away on the calendar. You've got games Monday. You've got some games Tuesday. You've got a couple games Friday. You've got a lot of games on Saturday. That will be a fun week to kick off the high school basketball season. And with all of that forthcoming, we have our big preview show coming up as well, our tip-off show, we call it, where we'll interview every high school basketball coach in Clark and Floyd County. We'll talk to a lot of the top players for the upcoming season as well. Stay with us. We'll have more information on when you can catch that here on the Big X coming up very soon. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Jeff Rabjohns of Pegs.com. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll look ahead at IU against Southern Indiana on Thursday night. We'll talk a little recruiting and Trace Jackson Davis with Jeff as well. And don't forget, Southern Indiana coach Rodney Watson joins us in the final segment today. We'll get an in-depth look at his USI team. We'll also talk to him about the opportunity to play a in-state Division I school like IU, what that means for the Southern Indiana program, and also the opportunity to play in Assembly Hall. One other thing I'm looking forward to talking with Coach Watson about, how good Division II basketball is. We've had Coach Davenport on many times on this program. Bellarmine has had a strong connection to Southern Indiana as far as recruiting goes. So has USI. And Division II, especially that conference, is very, very strong. And for players listening, for parents of high school players, middle school players listening, sometimes I think that Division II basketball gets frowned upon because it's not Division I. But really, there's no difference between many of the top conferences and programs in Division II basketball as there are some of the mid-majors and low-major schools in Division I. So we'll talk about that as well with Coach Watson of USI when he joins us later as well. Stay with us. We'll head to a quick break. We'll be back with Jeff Rabjohns and IU basketball after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back with Jeff Rabjohns of Pegs.com talking IU basketball. One day away from the first open exhibition game to start the 18-19 season for Hoosier basketball. Of course, following that, non-conference play begins really right away. Jeff, we can look back now at Sunday, the closed scrimmage that took place at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. With a little bit more knowledge, there was some for sure stats, some shooting percentages, leading scorers, other things in the IU release that came out in advance of the Southern Indiana game on Thursday. And I think when you look at some of these numbers, defensively, what Indiana did to hold the Loyola team in shooting to low percentages and who scored and who rebounded, it's not a full box score by any means, but just a snapshot, an overview. Easy to see why Coach Miller was excited Monday night during his radio show about the team's performance and specifically about how the team played defense right out of the gate.
Yeah, I think the defense was really, really notable. And I think there were some other things that were notable as well. Talking to various people, I think the stats are pretty close. I'm not going to call the stats, you know, according to Hoyle perfection, but it's a good snapshot. And again, it's a scrimmage. It doesn't even count like an exhibition count. So that's kind of part of it. But the defense was here's things that really stood out to me. I thought the defense was really, really notable. When you're talking about holding somebody to 32% shooting and only 22% from the arc, a team that does pretty well from the arc, that's really notable. Obviously, they lost some pieces from last year's Final Four team. They are not the same team. But they do have some pieces back. They've got veteran guys. They've got a terrific coach in Porter Mosier. So I thought it was a really good idea to play against that kind of team in a scrimmage. Another thing that stood out to me is that Loyola runs the pack line like Indiana does, but they decided to switch everything to try to work on some things, to try to make some things difficult for IU. And obviously, going into a scrimmage, you know, you don't have time to spend a lot of time on film to study an opponent. The idea is work on yourself in practice. Use the scrimmage to look at lineups. But IU had a lot of players out there who were capable of adjusting on the fly to a team that's pretty good at defense, doing something different, switching a lot of different stuff. From what I heard, Finnessy, Langford, Juwan Morgan were among the guys who were very, very good, showed a lot of alertness, and Zach McRoberts also, and really understood, okay, this is what they're doing, okay, so here's how you attack that. So I thought that was pretty notable. And the other thing I thought was interesting is that I heard IU was really strong on the offensive boards, but there were several guys, particularly Juwan Morgan, Justin Smith, and Romeo Langford, who were capable of going in and getting a number of rebounds. And obviously, IU, according to the stats, had a 47-27 edge on the boards overall, which is good. But what I heard was that folks from Loyola were really impressed with IU's offensive rebounding.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, our guest. Yeah, lots of good things from Sunday's scrimmage. We'll get to see maybe some of those things and how they carry over Thursday night to the team's first open game of the season. And again, you mentioned the difference. The scrimmage game Sunday, obviously, closed. It doesn't count. More of an opportunity to work in a closed setting on the upcoming season and some of the things in practice that you want to get out into a game-type format against another opponent. Exhibition games do count, and so that's where we'll start things on Thursday. When you think about this Thursday contest, we all know that Southern Indiana isn't your typical non-Division I team. They are like a Division I program. They have a lot of guys that very easily could be playing a low or mid-major for sure level of Division I basketball, much like Bellarmine has been scrimmaging Louisville, scrimmaging IU in recent seasons. Southern Indiana is very much on that same level. So we think that Indiana will get an opportunity to showcase what it can do and maybe continue this defensive momentum early on against another very quality team.
Yeah, I like the idea of playing the good teams from either in-state or around the area in exhibitions for Indiana. Obviously, the GLVC, I think as everybody knows, is a terrific basketball league. Seven basketball Division II national championships since just 1987. So it's got strong programs that really do well, an awful lot of history there. Southern Indiana should have another good season. I think they play Indiana and Butler in their two exhibition games. So they've certainly got an aggressive attitude there, which I think makes a lot of sense. And you look at that roster, I mean, there's a number of guys that I think people, you know, would recognize. Certainly, if you're talking about, you know, the Southern Indiana area, you've got guys like Alex Stein, Jacob Norman, Nate Hansen from down there at Evansville, right? If you look from around the state, you've got Emmanuel Little, 6'6 forward from North Central. He's a guy you look at and say he probably could have had some Division I opportunities. You've got a really nice guard down there in Mateo Rivera from North Central. You know, he's another guy who, you know, had some lower-level Division I looks. And obviously you've got, you know, some guys who transferred from Division I schools. You know, with Kobe Caldwell from transferring from Utah and guys like that. David Simmons coming from Middle Tennessee State. So it's a good program. It's got a really nice mix of some Indiana guys. As well as some D1 transfers, comes from a really good league. So I think it's because you can't play a fellow Division I opponent in an exhibition game, I really think going and getting somebody from the state, from around the area, the USIs, the UNDs, who IU played last year, Bellarmines of the world, from a league like the GLVC, I think that's about as good as you can get when it comes to exhibition competition.
We're talking with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com in preparation of IU's exhibition game Thursday night, which, by the way, will be live right here on the Big X Sports Radio. I didn't mention this earlier in my headlines for the day, but I want to bring it up with you. We've kind of been tracking the best we can. We never really get the stats or anything definitive about it, but IU has, in some form or fashion, put out who has won the gold jersey, which is the practice gear that the best scorer, we'll say, in the plus-minus system that the IU coaches keep during practices for the week. They kind of get honored with that as a leader and as something to compete for each and every day, especially in the preseason practices where you've got weeks of practice with no competition to look forward to. I think it's a great thing, a great idea. Juwan Morgan has had that jersey for a couple weeks, we know. Romeo Langford got it for a week. And most recently, I understand that Jerome Hunter, another freshman, back-to-back weeks that freshmen for this team have the gold jersey in practice. He's a name that we've talked about. I know a name that everyone's really hopeful for in the senior class, that he can make an impact and maybe be a player that down the road especially could be a real talent for this Indiana team. But a lot of Romeo and Robert Fennessy, maybe it's because Romeo is Romeo and Robert Fennessy is from the state of Indiana. They obviously get the most talk and discussion, it seems, heading into the season. But Jerome Hunter making a statement with this gold uniform in practice and obviously putting up some good numbers in practice.
Yeah, he certainly has been. And he's a very interesting prospect. He was a national top 50 level player coming out of high school over there in Pickerington, Ohio. Tom Ostrom and Archie Miller did a tremendous job on that recruitment from the get-go. Getting him and his mom over to IU during team camp and really just having a strong presence and connection with Jerome and his family throughout that recruitment. As far as him as a player, he's really intriguing from this standpoint. He right now he's about 6'6", 6'7". He's kind of a forward. He can be a power forward. He can be a wing forward. He's kind of learning still how to play more on the perimeter. And here's what really makes him interesting, Matt, is when he was younger, when he was like a high school freshman or sophomore, he was basically a block-to-block guy. He was an interior guy. He grew early, so you put the big guy inside. So he basically didn't do a whole lot outside of 5 or 6 feet. Then, as he gets a little bit older, gets to his junior year, okay, maybe some mid-range stuff, maybe a one-dribble, two-dribble move, that kind of stuff. After his junior year of high school, really started working on being able to play more out in the open court, being able to actually handle the ball. Again, we're talking handle it as a forward, but handle the ball, maybe catch it, go, catch it on the run, on a break, near midcourt, 3-4 dribbles, be able to finish inside. And then in the senior year, he really worked on, increasing his ability to make threes. He did make threes some as a junior, but it was kind of like bursts here and there. You could tell it's kind of like, okay, this guy's coming. Shot looks nice. He's got terrific height with his athleticism. The release point's really high for a guy who's around 6'6". The release is well up there above the eyebrow, so it's a difficult shot to defend. But he's really started as an interior player, and he's slowly been working his way out. So you've got a guy who can kind of play. I mean, there's really not a 3 and a 4 as far as positions in college anymore. That's coaches don't even talk like that. That stuff's really kind of gone. You're talking about more hybrid positions. But what you have is a guy who is early, really, in his development as a perimeter player. He's really only truly been a perimeter player for really 1 year of high school, a little bit as a junior, but basically only 1 year as in high school. So what happens when all of a sudden he really starts to get a three-point shot, a college-level three-point shot? What happens when he has the ability to make one and two dribble moves at the Big Ten level? What happens when he really understands how he's getting defended, how some of these openings, windows, if you will, that were open for a second half in high school, they close in half a second at the college level, that because of length and quickness, how do you attack those? I think he's really intriguing because not only does he have a high ceiling, but the chance that he really gets there, you know, he could get there quicker, is what I'm saying. You don't know, but you look at it and you go, okay, you know, he's going to be a different guy, I think, in January than he is right now. I think he might be a different guy in March than he is in January. I don't think we're just talking about what's he going to look like as a sophomore, what's he going to look like as a junior. I think this guy has a potential to make jumps during this season, and to me, that makes him a very, very intriguing player.
Interesting stuff. I think it's very possible that when things are all said and done for this season, or at least we get deep into this season, he could be that second most contributing freshman. It wouldn't surprise me if he stepped ahead even in some people's projections of Robert Phinisee as far as freshman contributors for this team. Jeff, obviously in an exhibition game, you're playing a Division II team, even though you kind of did a great job highlighting the roster, some Division I transfers, some other great players from Evansville and throughout the state of Indiana, really some familiar names if you followed high school basketball at all. So this isn't a slouch by any means coming to Bloomington, but it is a game that Indiana should win, and you'd like to see this team as well as it sounds like they played Sunday against Loyola, who returned some players from a Final Four team this past season. You'd like to see them continue that momentum, win by a solid margin, and obviously make some gains in whatever they've been specifically working on in practice. What will Jeff Rabjohns in this first look at Indiana? You know, no one has seen them, the team, since Hoosier Hysteria for a very brief 15-minute, really uninspired type of exhibition or scrimmage, inter-squad type event. Outside of that, nobody's seen them. What will Jeff Rabjohns, who thinks and studies and covers this stuff really year-round all the time, what will you be focused on beside the score Thursday night as far as getting a gauge on this Indiana team for what's to come this season?
I would say number one, defensive connectivity and impact. I want to see where they're at. Archie Miller spent a lot of time in year one installing the pack line and all those principles. You've got older guys now who should be good at it. Some of the younger guys, the freshmen, you don't know exactly where they're going to be. And I would include grad transfer Evan Fitzner in that. He's a new guy. Where are they all going to be on defensive connectivity and impact? I want to see that. I want to see how well they move the ball and create shots, because I don't think this is going to be a great three-point shooting team. I just don't know who you look at and say, okay, you know, these are three terrific shooters. There's just not that kind of – it's just not that kind of a group right now. So I think they're going to have to score. You're going to have to move the ball, create shots, get to the paint, get fouled, those kind of things. So I want to see how they look as far as that goes. I also want to see if Devontae Green isn't able to go, which I think right now the most likely scenario is freshman Robert Phinisee starts a point guard in the exhibition game. Nothing's definitive. I'm just saying I think that's the most likely scenario. I want to see how he looks, because I always thought Phinisee was underestimated as a competitor. He just really has that competitive makeup to him. It's not a physical thing. It's not a specific basketball skill. But as much as we go out and watch players, you look for little things, and competitive makeup is one of them. What happens when you're really challenged? What happens when your team is down 10 or 12 and, okay, now it's, you know, there's only 10 minutes left, you know, in an AAU game on a Friday night in Vegas? You know, are you going to fight to try to win, or are you just going to kind of be like, eh, all right, let's go eat and get back up and get back at it Saturday? And Phinisee always showed me a lot of competitiveness, you know, not a lot. You know, he didn't back down to anybody, even some guys who were definitely better, some guys who were, you know, just longer, quicker, faster. But so I'm curious to see how he plays in that role. And I'm also really going to be intrigued to see Juwan Morgan, because I think, you know, Romeo Langford, we got to see an awful lot. I think people are going to enjoy seeing him. And I think fans might want to just enjoy the moment of watching Romeo's first, you know, actual game in an IU uniform. And I completely understand that. But I think we got a pretty good handle on, you know, on what Romeo can do. And certainly that's going to be interesting. But I think some of the other things are lesser known, maybe, if you will. And I want to see what Juwan Morgan's shot looks like, because that was one thing that, you know, it improved last year, got to be to where it was a weapon here and there, but he really benefited an awful lot from being defended by some centers, some true centers that weren't necessarily all that mobile. He was able to kind of catch in the high post and go around people, make quick cut moves and score inside. So if he's on the floor at times, I think there are times he's going to be playing the center position. So is it going to be still cuts? Is he going to be able to go outside and pick and pop? Those kind of things. So I would say those are the three or four things I'm looking forward to seeing and kind of getting a gauge of in the exhibition game.
Jeff, once again, really good stuff. Thanks for the chat, and it'll be fun to talk about things next week with the season officially underway. We appreciate all the good preview material today.
Hey, my pleasure. Enjoy your chat with Coach Watson. He's got a good squad this year. Should be fun.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jeff. And that's a good segue and a reminder that Rodney Watson, the head coach at the University of Southern Indiana, who will head to Assembly Hall Thursday night, will join us in the next segment after this commercial break. Stay with us. A final segment, a chat with Coach Watson on USI basketball coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back, final segment on this Wednesday show, the opportunity to preview IU and Southern Indiana on Thursday night from a little different perspective. We're going to be joined right now by Rodney Watson. He's the head coach of USI, a terrific Division II program. We talk and hear a lot about Bellarmine in this area, the success that they've had winning a national championship a handful of seasons ago. That conference, the University of Southern Indiana, it's some of the best Division II basketball in the country. And I know, Coach Watson, your team is gearing up for what should be a really exciting season for your program.
We are, Matt. We're really excited about what's coming. And you're exactly right. The Great Lakes Valley Conference is a terrific league. I was in the Missouri Valley as an assistant coach for many years. When I came to this league, I got to tell you, it really surprised me. The skill level, the coaching's outstanding. They're outstanding players. It's a storied league. Bellarmine's had a great deal of success. We've had some success ourselves, and we're really excited about what we're up against tomorrow and the start of a new season.
Coach Watson, let's start with that. Obviously, heading into a challenge like Indiana, I know it's great for your team at this early point of the season, but in addition to that, you're a basketball guy. You've been around Indiana and Southern Indiana for years. The opportunity to take your team that you're proud of, that you're gearing up for a big season with, to a place like Assembly Hall to play in front of that type of crowd. Talk about that experience before we even get into the game.
It'll really be exciting. We were there in about this time of year of 2013. We had a young man by the name of Aaron Nelson who ended up getting 14 points and 10 rebounds. What really impressed me about that exhibition game, unlike most in Division I basketball, in most places the place is going to be about half full or about a fourth full. At IU, we're expecting, you know, really close to a sellout, actually, somewhere in the probably the 16,000, 17,000 people for basically Matt, a practice game. Now, that just shows you the incredible interest of our great sport in this part of the country. So it's going to be really great. The thing that I'm cautioning my assistant coaches and I'll caution our team about later on today in practice is that you can truly get emotionally drunk and wear yourself out during the warm-ups. And I don't say that to be flippant or try to be cute. It's just, it's very important that we really keep our poise, and because the band is going to be popping like they've never heard before. There'll be a lot of energy in the building. Obviously, the program is coming to an area where, you know, you've got a great player in Romeo and a future NBA player, certainly in Juwan Morgan. But there's just a lot of excitement and interest, and we've got to be careful from 6 o'clock to 7 before the game ever gets started.
Rodney Watson, head coach at the University of Southern Indiana, is our guest. We're talking about USI and IU tomorrow night, Thursday night. The game will be live here on the Big X Sports Radio. Let's talk about your roster, Coach. I looked at that yesterday. You've got somewhere, I think, 10 to 12 players on the roster, from the state of Indiana. Many of those players are from the pocket city of Evansville, which has produced some great talent in recent seasons. Love to see in-state guys in in-state college programs winning and doing things the right way with Indiana guys. Also, you've got some guys that played at the Division I level, so it looks to me, heading into this season, you've got a really good mix of some homegrown talent as well as some players that have played at the highest level.
You know, I appreciate you mentioning that about our kids from Indiana. And think about it, as kids growing up, and I remember it like yesterday, and believe me, it was a lot of yesterdays ago, that when I was a kid, I grew up in the state of Illinois, I always dreamed of playing at the Assembly Hall in Champaign, Urbana. And these kids that we have on our team, they grew up at 5, 6 years old, shooting baskets in the backyard or on the playground, dreaming of playing at the Assembly Hall in Bloomington, Indiana, playing, you know, maybe for the Hoosiers or whatever. So this is a special great opportunity for so many guys. Now, we start off by talking about Alex Stein, a preseason All-American, a guy that's really compulsive about his work ethic in the gym. He's a self-made man. He's a really terrific shooter, a great guard. Jacob Norman, who was also on that terrific Wrights team 4 years ago, along with Nate Hansen, who played at Vincennes University before coming to our place. So those three guys are our seniors, all from the same Wrights High School, great high school team, and they bring a terrific winning culture to our program.
I also want to ask you about Chance Coyle. A lot of fans from our area that followed the Romeo Mania over the last couple of years will remember some tremendous games between New Albany and Bloomington South, and including some tremendous performances individually, not only with Romeo, but also Chance Coyle as well. Coach, I would have to assume, following his high school career, that you're really pleased to have him as a freshman recruit for your program, and that he's someone down the line, as each season rolls along, even this freshman season, is going to be able to be a big part of your program. And another one of those familiar names here in Southern Indiana.
You are exactly correct. Chance Coyle is a young man that I met my very first summer, which was 10 summers ago. His dad, Neil, was on the great national championship team that Bruce Pearl coached back in 1995. His mother, Amy, they both are alums from our school. And Neil came by when I didn't even really know the guys that were on the 95 team. He's one of the first alums from the basketball program that I met. And he had his son with him who was going to be in the fourth grade. And I said, Neil, he's big. I said, we got to keep an eye on him. And so it's interesting you bring up some important points about New Albany and Bloomington South. You know, we knew that Chance was out there. We knew he was going to be a good player. Where we really fell in love with him was his sophomore year when he had the opportunity to guard Romeo in a meaningful game. And it wasn't just the fact that he got the chance to play against a good New Albany team, play against a future, you know, star in his own right, but it was the demeanor that he went about guarding Romeo as a sophomore. He didn't back down one bit. I mean, he knew what he was up against, and that's what's really, really caught our eye at a very early age. And we were really fortunate. We thought he would go to maybe a Division I level, and just things fell into place. The familiarity with USI really helped us, and you are exactly right. He's a guy that we're truly counting on, not only in the future, but certainly right away.
Rodney Watson, head coach at the University of Southern Indiana, our guest today on the Hoosier Report. We're talking about USI's Thursday night exhibition at Assembly Hall in Bloomington. You know, as I looked at your schedule, that conference, and we've talked about how good the GLVC is. We've talked about Bellarmine. There are a number of programs each and every year that are at the top of Division II basketball. So you know the challenges each and every year that are ahead of you on your schedule, but you guys start this year not only at IU on Thursday night, but you come right back on Saturday at Butler for another exhibition game. I have to believe that those are two unbelievable experiences for your kids, a lot like you talk about playing in Assembly Hall, Hinkle Fieldhouse, obviously one of the more historic places in basketball anywhere. And the challenges that you'll get from those two teams, even if you get put in some uncomfortable situations, you have to think that can help you down the road with the conference schedule that lies ahead.
We have no chance to emulate or simulate the atmosphere and playing against strength and length and speed and skill like we do when you play teams like Indiana and Butler. And what that does for you as a coach, it really helps us prepare our team, because every workout and every practice we've had since Labor Day had to have meaning, knowing what we're up against coming Thursday and Saturday. But what's really interesting, Matt, is the most important game coming up is going to be Hillsdale, a team that took Oakland to about two-possession game last week, an exhibition game, and that's when our season starts. The difference, one thing that fans have to realize in Division II basketball, and I was a part of Division I for a long time, in Division I, you can kind of sow your oats for a while in November. But in Division II, when it comes to March and handing out at-large bids, and we have 39 teams in our region, so there are only five at-large bids available to 39 teams. You've got to be very good in November. So that's even adds more, you know, the part about Indiana kids playing at these historic places, there's a lot of value to that. Does it help your recruiting? Sure it does. Because when you come to the Division II level, there's a bit of a stigma, but you want to have that opportunity to really help you. Quite frankly, Aaron Nelson, the guy I mentioned a little bit earlier, he had 14-10 against Indiana in an exhibition game. But that film probably helped him secure a six-figure deal in South America more than anything he did being an All-American Division II. So there are some more important parts other than just the game and preparing for your regular season game coming up. So many things are on the line right now. Really getting your team into sync, getting them into rhythm, and then have to go against the pressure we're about to see Thursday, Saturday will only help us down the line.
Rodney Watson, coach at USI, our guest. Coach, I know you've got a lot on your plate with the IU and Butler games and, of course, getting ready for the regular season forthcoming. But for local fans, fans in the southern Indiana area, fans listening today in Louisville, maybe even a Bellarmine fan, Saturday, December 1st, 7:30 at Knights Hall, southern Indiana against Bellarmine. It'll be a tremendous early season Division II basketball game. You talk about games with a lot of meaning. That is one. And I want to use that segue to ask you really the final question, final point today. We have a lot of people that listen, a lot of parents of players that listen, young players here in southern Indiana. I know a lot of people hit the podcast as well that maybe aren't even in our immediate area. And when I had Coach Davenport on from Bellarmine, he's recruited New Albany and Jeff and Providence and some of the local schools right across the river very heavy as well. We always talk about how good Division II basketball is and how good the GLVC is. And I'd like you to expand on how talented your team, your conference, some of the teams on your schedule, how hard it is to win a national championship, something that Bellarmine and USI have done. Because I think sometimes parents of players think, oh, well, it's not a Division I school. That was the goal. That's, you know, that's what who we want to hear from. And they're wrong, because Division II basketball in certain parts of the country, really in a lot of parts of the country, is really good. And I'd like your thoughts on that.
Basketball at the college level, especially, and kind of handed down from the NBA, has become a perimeter game. You don't see much low post action anymore. Really, officials don't want it. The keepers of the game really don't want aggressive physical play inside. So skilled basketball at all five positions are really important. I think the thing that Coach Davenport's done better than anyone is he's gotten skilled forwards to go along with terrific guards that make it very difficult. Plus, they play extremely hard. The thing that I noticed when I came to the GLVC from Southern Illinois University, I noticed the amount of the great guard play and the skilled forward play. Guys can shoot the ball so well. In the Missouri Valley Conference, there's plenty of nights, matter of fact, most nights, where you don't have to guard at least one guy and sometimes two guys. In the GLVC, you've got to guard five guys. And if you're going out there and putting a guy on the floor in our league that can't make a perimeter jump shot, you're really at a great disadvantage. The telling tale, really, of Division II basketball, when we talk to parents, it's kind of a disappointing stat that I'm going to give you, where nearly 700 and 800 kids are transferring from Division I every single year. Something's screwed up there. In Division II, when you look at our programs, you look at Bellarmine, ourselves, Drury, some of these schools, you have very few kids that are transferring. When they come to this level, I had a guy by the name of Jamar Smith that we had the pleasure of coaching in our first season. He came from the University of Illinois. He transferred to Southern Indiana. On his last day on campus, after his last final in May, he came in my office. He sat down. He goes, "Coach, when I came here, I didn't want to come to Division II, and today I don't want to leave this campus." And that's what you find. You find the kids, they come here, they understand how good the basketball is. the coaching, the demands, but the education is outstanding. You don't have a lot of the nonsense that we're seeing going on in all of college sports. It's really about as pure as you're going to get for the level that you're going to receive.
Rodney Watson, head coach at the University of Southern Indiana. Coach, terrific to catch up with you. We know you're very busy. I appreciate the time to talk about your team and the game Thursday night at Indiana. We look forward to following your team beyond Thursday night as well. Best of luck this season, and we'll talk again here on this show.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
Absolutely. Rodney Watson, one of the great guys in Division II basketball. Great program at the University of Southern Indiana, and obviously a great conference as well. Circle that date, December 1st. If you never have been to a Division II game, a USI, a Bellarmine game, circle that date, head across the river to Bellarmine. You talk about basketball season getting started. Whenever I can slide away, whether it's USI, whether it's Bellarmine, there are some terrific games to take in, to watch, and that's another exciting part about the season beginning. That'll wrap things up for today on this Wednesday program. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget, if you miss the live show or you miss a segment, we're always available on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts, two apps that are free. In fact, you can point your browser directly to SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Don't forget, we'll be back tomorrow on Thursday. Thursday, we'll have Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with me. Also on Thursday, we'll talk with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com and Caleb First, the coach of Fort Wayne Blackhawk that got an offer, young player, sophomore, that got an offer from Indiana just a few days ago. His high school coach is going to join us on the program tomorrow so we can learn more about a young name in the Hoosier State to watch over the next couple of seasons that Indiana and Coach Miller are very interested in as well. Have a great day. We'll catch you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.